This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the city?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, that's...
Doing the best. I mean, well,
I'm doing the best job.
One
right
of the
now.
Seasons Man. Is not in season.
The Flyers make the playoffs, though. That's gonna be
that's a good job by Tortorella if they get there. I do like Nick Nurse, but it's pretty rough right now with the Sixers. Put him on ice for a while. That's not going well. And Rob Thompson obviously didn't do well in the playoffs. All right, 215-592-9494. Are you willing to say Nick Sirianni is a great coach? I am willing to say he's a good one. Hugh's saying he's a very good one. But a lot of people out there want to say he's a great one. Now, one of the things that is, it's more about than just X's and O's, right? He's got to get the players to buy in. He's got to get everyone on the same page. And it was a question we had heading into the season. I mean, you guys remember all the conversations. Some of you were fed up with it, but we did it anyway. Back in June around minicamp, when it seemed like Jalen Hurts and Sirianni were on totally different pages, mostly a Hurts thing, not wanting to give any sort of love or credit to Sirianni. Listen to the change in all this, right? And look, 8 straight wins will do this. But first, we're going to hear from Jalen Hurts back in June, minicamp, what he said about Nick Sirianni. He was asked basically a layup question. You'll kind of, it'll jog your memory when you hear it. And then we'll let you hear what Jalen said just a couple days ago and how much has changed. All right, let's go back to June. Hurts on Sirianni around minicamp on how he's evolving into his new role.
You know, Nick being open-minded to change up every, you know, the offense like he has. I mean, what's that say about him?
I mean, it's a great question. I don't know that I know the answer to it.
What have you seen from him as far as doing that?
I think he's just, you know, he's been a, you know, great, and you know, the messages he's delivering to the team. He's trying to be very intentional in what he's saying. And yeah.
So that was June when that, we...
It's so funny to hear him say that.
I forgot how awkward that was, man. Yeah.
It was the ums and the pauses. And the
lip smacking.
Yeah, like nothing good to say, so we'll just smack the lips. All right, let's then fast forward to this past Sunday, a couple days ago. Jalen on Nick and how much he's grown in this season.
What ways do you think Nick has evolved and grown through this season?
Yeah, I just think, his approach, his patience in certain moments, and I think... his ability to dive in and kind of get the real detail of things, so he can better prepare us to do what we do. I know he's very intentional with the time he spends and the situations, and he's had some moments where he wish he could have done something else, and then he has some moments where we got to help him out as well, and then we got moments where we need to learn from him all, and so it's all collaborative.
He was just in here and he was saying that you belong in the MVP discussion, and it's that people try to discredit you because of stats. What's it mean for you that he kind of, defends you like that?
I mean, I appreciate his intentions with it, and, I have a lot of love for coaching that. My focus is winning. My focus is winning and doing what I need to do to help this team win.
Yeah, the growth. And, Hugh, that brings you above X's and O's to the management part of this, the locker room part of it. One of the things that he had to do, and this was a product of the way the first 4 weeks went, he had to get the whole team, but specifically the quarterback and the receivers, to buy into, hey, we're going to run the ball more. The ball more, your numbers are going to be down. And let's just use Jalen Hurts as an example, right? There was a report this weekend, Ian Rapoport put it out, that those two at the bye spent a lot of time together. And I have no idea what the conversations were like, but at some point, Hugh...
You don't know?
Well,
you want me to speculate? Because I think I have them.
Tell me.
Hey, listen. You're a great quarterback. I think highly of you. But we're going to run the ball a little bit more. We about to tweak this offense a little bit. You're going to get yours. Oh, now you want to play the music. You're going to get yours, but in order for us to have success, we're going to do this for a little while. And I need you to buy into this, and I need you to help me help everybody else, be okay with this. You're talking about, think about it like this, Joe.
It was beautiful.
A.J. Brown is probably, A.J. Brown called into the show last year because he didn't like what was being said about him.
Mm.
Like he called the afternoon show.
I know. Yeah, I remember.
He basically had Jack nervous because Jack didn't know what to say.
I think Jack would like to forget.
Jack want to forget that.
Is that going to be year in review by around
it's
the new
be.
Year?
It's gotta be.
That changed.
But
how about the new offense?
The point that I'm making is this:
we ain't talking about that.
You've figured out how to let these guys, or figure out a way to put their egos to the side for the betterment of the team. And everybody's on the same page. Everybody's in lockstep, man. That's the intangible that I saw Sunday night, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Brothers ain't out there getting tired. Nobody's tired. They're out there playing. They're flying around. Nobody's saying it. I'm pretty sure nobody's saying it. But everybody knows where they want to be.
Of course they do. And I like the way you frame what their discussion was probably like. Can I tell you, as you understand it from a coach player perspective, as a fan, what it seems like to me is he convinced them you got to be a game manager and deal with it, and you got to be a leader.
He didn't, Joe.
That's what it is.
But Joe, I hear what you're saying.
That's what he convinced him to do.
We need to figure out a better word than that game management word.
The skill is conveying that message in terms that Jalen is okay with.
Yes.
He basically told him, look, you have to be okay with being plant-based, if we want to use our terminology. And then you have to tell A.J. Brown and Devontae that the quarterback's plant-based.
I can't stand talking to y'all when y'all get like
I think there's different levels, right? There's the ex-player level, and you gave it to us with Amazing Grace underneath. There's the fan perspective, which is game manager.
You're plant-based.
Then there is the midday show perspective, which is Jalen had to be okay being plant-based. And I give Sirianni credit for convincing him this is the way we got to win.
However he did it worked.
I also think it probably helped that Jalen Hurts has played this role before a lot. He was at Alabama, where they had NFL player after NFL player. He had some big games, but also he was a lot of times asked to hand the football off, run it sometimes, and we win with our defense. Right? Jalen's not. He's been part of this before. He's probably okay.
He went in there and said, "Hey, Jalen,
game manager,
you're not that good. You are a product of the talent that you have around
you. Well, I'm sure he didn't say it like that.
No, but that's how you try to make it sound like, hey, you're a product of the talent that you have around you.
We all know what the message is. It's how Nick Sirianni got that through to Jalen without being offensive like we are. We're joking about it.
Yeah.
Nick Sirianni clearly had a one-on-one, man-to-man conversation with Jalen about this and did it in a way that works.
I've always thought this about Sirianni. I remember when he first got hired here. We all remember the first press conference, right? It was a disaster. Mm-hmm. But if you go back and the Colts had some sort of like YouTube show, I watched it. He's different with his players. We see it with the post-game stuff in the locker room. He connects with them in a way that I don't think we really get because we're just not them. But I think that's maybe his best trait. And I'm sure it wasn't an easy conversation with his $250 million quarterback saying to him in whatever words he used that we're going to a run-based offense. But it worked, right? And Jalen has been efficient in what he's been asked to do. He hasn't turned the ball over, but what, two times in the last eight games?
Yeah.
And they're winning. So we're all happy with it. And that's a good, if we're doing the scales of Sirianni, that's a good one for him.
The plant-based. We went from the flower speech to the plant-based talk.
And they all work. Whatever works. Let's go to OG Wade. What's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Good, OG. What are you thinking today?
Kyle kind of bullied me into saying the great talk because I don't like using those words for, players and coaches that haven't done it for a period of time.
Yeah, but Jalen's so fine. We'll call him great.
I'm going to go with Hugh on that and say very good coach. And I'll say this here. I hear a lot of people, both the big media and then here in this town, we talk about the roster, right? That's on paper. But when you really examine it, this roster hasn't even played together for 12 games. AJ missed three games. Smitty missed six games. Dallas Goedert missed four games. So we never really had our full complementary players on the roster playing at the same time for the season. You know what I'm saying? So if you look at, we're a number seventh offense in the NFL. We were number seven last year. Know what the common denominator is? Our defense was 30th last year. Our defense is in the top five.
Well, that's
first
true.
Right now.
Yeah, that's the biggest difference.
A lot of people aren't looking at that. We're just looking to pick at Sirianni, and Jalen Hurts is not. He's just a game manager. But y'all don't realize, if you know the offense, we run in the RPO. That means Jalen can choose to throw it or he can choose to hand it off. He's doing what it takes to win. This is what the best formula is to hand it off. And when it's time to throw, he makes the throws. You know what I'm saying? I think I don't know if it's sexy enough for us to talk about it in that fashion, but we need to start being real on this radio and in this and as a fan base, and stop trying to put the players against one another. You know what I'm saying? Like Saquon, without Saquon, we wouldn't be, bro, we were seventh last year, we're seventh this year. Saquon is the MVP right now. You know what I'm saying? So that's the facts. We are winning. People say Josh Allen is the runner up. He got the same numbers as Jalen Hurts.
Oh, stop it.
So he do. Look at him.
OG, who is he throwing it to? Does he have an MVP running back on his team, too?
Slow down.
He does
bro.
Not have an MVP running back. I actually think Allen should not be as big of a favorite for the MVP, but he is.
Let me just say this, Joe, because I hear Kyle saying that and a lot of people say it. Look what he's throwing. Didn't I just tell you for 7, 8 games, Jalen's not throwing to all the weapons that you're seeing on the paper?
Not true.
Because the team has decided that he shouldn't throw as much.
Devontae's missed three games, not seven, dude.
They've been hurt, Joe. They've been hurt. Smitty missed six games.
No. He's played in nine. He's played in nine games.
He's making things up.
9 out of 12.
Didn't Smitty miss one, two, three.
He's played nine games.
Okay, so he missed those games. AJ missed three.
But every team has injuries. Every team has injuries.
That's my point. But that's what I'm saying. So stop saying, look at who he's throwing to. He don't have all them players like that.
What about his O-line?
Yeah, it's a great O-line and a great back. OG, we appreciate it.
I just couldn't do the Josh Allen thing. Stop it.
Yeah, Josh Allen's played better than Jalen.
There's a very good reason that Josh Allen is the MVP favorite, and Jalen Hurts is probably in the like 10 at
best.
Well,
one guy is the driving force of their team and their offense, and one guy has they've taken a back seat. I mean, that's the reality of what's going on. Again, that is a feather in the cap for Nick Sirianni. I'll give him that. I do think he is a good coach. But they're willing to go to gray. Let's take a deep breath. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. Are the full Sirianni conversation with Joe and John coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll play it for here. Are you willing to say Nick Sirianni's a great coach? How about this Twitter poll to start the day? 53% yes, 47% no.
It's kind of tight.
That's a lot on great.
Surprised.
You're surprised that many are voting great.
I thought this would be more of an uphill battle for great. And it is.
Yeah. Though I do think I agree with you, but it also says something that this guy is 44-19, yeah. 8 straight wins, and still 47% are like, nah.
Also, Twitter is very much like, what do you mean? I just won a game. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Which is great.
What do you mean?
He won 8 in a row. He's best coach of all time. He's legendary, like someone said on this radio station yesterday. Legendary. Let's go to Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Good morning, gentlemen. Hugh, Kyle, Bill, and the crew. What's going on?
Bruce, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man, I can't call it. I mean, great discussion, you know, about Sirianni. You know, I mean, as you all, you know my history with Sirianni, man. I've been a longtime hater of Sirianni, you know, but at the same time, I'm very logical, you know. I pay attention to what's going on. To his credit, he has made some – he has made some great strides. But, you know, Carlos just talking about something earlier when he was talking about last year. You know, one of the things that just get here's my problem, and I probably could speak for a number of fans about last year because, I'm on my own social media or whatever. And one of my biggest problems with last year, and it's still a lingering thing with Sirianni, is it wasn't necessarily, you know, about, yes, the talent was one issue, okay? The coordinators was something else. But here's my biggest point, and a lot of fans, and this is why there's still some of that out there, is that the difference between a good and a great coach is not necessarily about the wins and about the stats. It's about what separates them is what is it that you do when in times of adversity. The problem with last year is that they did not make the adjustments on the offense when they had the talent and the ability to do so. The house was burning down, and Sirianni was telling, oh, we're going to change something, and they crashed and burned. And that, to me, tells me that you don't have the – or you, at that point, lack the strategical ability to fix problems at the macro level, at his level, okay? And that's what the problem – that was what the real problem was. One of the biggest problems about last year. Now, fast forward to this year, I'm going to give him credit for that because you know what? They were kind of heading down a similar road, again, not recognizing the talent in Barkley until the break. And to Sirianni's credit, they had the powwow meeting and they got away from Kellen's philosophy and they adjusted and evolved it. And now this is what you're seeing. So I'm going to give Nick that credit. Now, here's the thing going forward, and this is something that I still need to see, okay? Because to me, good and great are very good. It's, you know, okay, you get to Super Bowl, that's one thing, and see what you do with it. But here's something that the Eagles still need to do, and nobody's really talking about, okay? And Sirianni, and I hope that they think about this. You know, we're riding the Barkley train for now. We're riding, you know, the offensive success, but they are not. And have not yet. They're not utilizing Dotson and getting the ball to him enough. They're not. I think they're underutilizing Shipley. And why is this important? It's important because if Barkley goes down, we got these smidgen of injuries. If we lose Barkley, this offense is going to crash and burn the way they're running it right now. And they're not working the rest of the roster. They need to get more passes to the tight ends. They need to.
Well, that's good, but that's offense. Bruce. That part is complicated is now by the Goddard.
To get Britton Covey involved.
Yeah, well, they tried. And Bruce, good phone call.
When they gave him a third and short or whatever.
What do you make of that, Hugh? I get his thought that at some point you might need these guys. You want them to be ready to go. But if you have a player like Saquon having
feed the beast,
a special season, you know, I my thing is more about keeping his body healthy rather than preparing the other guys for their moment. Usually running backs, it's next man up, and if you have to run, you run. I don't know. It's not like a quarterback getting reps. If Will Shipley could run and he has to come in because someone's hurt and he runs, he'll either gain yards if he's good or he won't if he's not. I don't think it matters.
You can't play the game worrying about injuries. I know injuries are part of the game, but I don't think that's a good way to coach and think like, oh, we can't get Saquon the ball because he might get hurt on his play.
No, I agree with that, but you do – Now, look, they're trying to get a number one seed. This is all complicated now because we're moving to a different part of the season. But I do think the conversation has changed from, hey, can we keep him healthy for 17? Now, can we keep him healthy for 21 football games?
Man, look, does any one of these individuals on this team look like they showed signs of slowing down? As physical as that game was the other night, the fact that the Baltimore Ravens held the ball for the whole third quarter, that defense still came out and they stood on their ear. I think they're doing a great job of making sure and maintaining the health of this football team. Now, injuries happen. That's a part of the NFL. But I'm not going – like, we're too far into this thing for me to be sitting there thinking, well, Saquon carried the ball 15 times in the first half. I don't know if I want to give it to him the second half because he might get hurt. Run the ball, and if it happens, knock on wood, hopefully, God forbid it does, then we'll adjust. But right now, I'm not worried about any of that.
So the last couple games obviously are different because they're on the road against contenders, especially the Ravens. But here they have I think this is going to be a real challenge as we talk about Sirianni and the job he's done. The next challenge for him is managing Saquon down the stretch. They're going to have three games coming up: this Sunday against Carolina, and then the last two games of the year against the Cowboys and Giants. They're going to be, what, double-digit favorites in all three of the games? Mm. We know they're 12-point favorites against the Panthers, right? They'll probably be favored by, I don't know, 10 against the Cowboys, and it could be 16 against the Giants if they want to play that game. Like, the biggest favorite of the year might be the Eagles against the Giants if the Eagles choose to play Week 17, Week 18. They're not going to need him in the second half to win the game.
So don't play.
Well, but the challenge there is he's going for the rushing record. Well, this is another challenge for Sirianni. It's a good challenge, but it's a challenge.
I tell you what, I feel like since he had the week that he had against Baltimore, you know, getting over 100 yards, then there'll probably be a time you might be in a situation where you get a chance to spell him down the stretch because he might. I'm not saying that Carolina's garbage, but
hell, their defense is garbage.
He might hit for 300 this weekend.
300, Hugh
didn't
Douglas.
Didn't he hit for 300 all purpose a couple weeks ago?
He did, yeah.
So you act like I'm saying something that is impossible.
Well, no, but how many guys have multiple of those games in the same season?
Well, if he has another one, then this is a moot conversation. It's not the way this man is running right now. You just cracked. The best run defense for 100 yards. What makes you think he ain't going to be able to crack Carolina for at least 200? Like, seriously, the way he's running.
They're giving up like 170 a game. Yeah,
what makes you think he might not crack? Matter of fact,
because,
let me go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you why.
Go ahead and put this $2 bet.
I'll tell you why. Because if he runs for 200, they're up 30 in the fourth quarter, and it doesn't make any sense to run him anymore.
It's
the Rams game wasn't over. You know what I mean? Like, it was like they were in control, but it was still like, let's put it away here.
If there's an opportunity to rest him.
That's what I mean.
Listen, dog. Speaking of that, I remember my first year here in Philly, we went to Denver, and Terrell Davis had like, I want to say 100-something yards in the first half. He was on the sideline.
Why weren't you stopping him?
I couldn't do nothing about it. I had my own problems.
That's on you.
No, but I'm saying he can have one of those days.
Yeah.
Coach telling me like, hey, if it looks like the game is starting to get out of hand, hey, man, you about to sit down in the second half. Mm-hmm. So whatever you do, get it done.
But he's a second half runner.
No, I would tell him flat out. Hey, Saquon, you better go on here and get it done now.
215-592-9494. Let's talk to Nick in Hillsborough. What's up, Nick?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey, Nick. What's up, buddy?
Man, waiting on hold. It just makes me want to talk about so many points. But before I get to Sirianni, Josh Allen's MVP right now. I mean, he's throwing to the 2024 version of Paxton, Thrash, and FedEx. I mean, his receivers are pretty much garbage, and what he's doing is unbelievable.
He's having a great year. I think he's right there. I think those guys are a little bit better than the guys you mentioned, but I get your point. They don't have big brand names. Yeah, I got you.
Right. Exactly. Prior to the break, you guys mentioned Andy Reid. Let's not forget he had his warts, too. I mean, remember the whole Juan Castillo offense, the defense, the debacle there? I mean, that was kind of desperation and grabbing a straw, right?
Yeah, he was
right?
on his
I mean,
way out the door at that point.
Yeah, exactly. But, all right, so, you know, Kenan Sentimenson's right. He's a good coach. He's not a great coach. He's not even a very good coach. But he is an excellent leader of men. I mean, the players, you think about Saquon, Fletcher, Kelsey, everyone is quoting all those Nick-isms, you know, unsolicited. So he's doing the right thing, and like you said earlier, Hugh, getting them to run through the wall and asking, you know, can I have some more? So that's what he is right now. He's a good coach. He's got to win the big game. You know, obviously we know what happened in 22. Let's get back there again. He wins it. Then he's in that discussion of being, you know, an excellent coach.
That see, Nick, that I think you framed it the way I am, and I agree. And I probably downplayed and Nick appreciated how much that part is important, the leader of men, getting them to run through a wall.
Yeah.
He does that.
And, that's a huge part of it.
It's a huge part of it. And where he may lack in X's and O's, and obviously that's why he's handed off play calling and he has coordinators do that now, he does it well there, and it's working, and he deserves credit for this season. I acknowledge all that. But the greatness stuff, no, I'm going to wait on that. 215-592-9494.
Pump your brakes.
Yeah, just pump the brakes a little bit. Let's get to the postseason and see how he does here. All right, on the other side, your phone calls on Sirianni. Are you willing to say right now, and are you ready to say, he is a great coach? We'll hit that, and you'll hear from Sirianni. This morning, his conversation with Joe and John. We'll replay that coming up. Midday show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, Thanksgiving might be over, but the season of gatherings isn't done yet. Make your next holiday meal unforgettable with Hatfield. That's right, I said it. Say it with me. Put pork on your fork. Hatfield's delicious marinated pork tenderloins, bacon, ham, and ham steaks are the perfect centerpiece for any holiday meal. If you need inspiration, visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes. This season, go beyond tradition and find your flavor with Hatfield.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. The song is so perfect. Of all the moments this year that have been captured with the Eagles, this, the Elliott's video of this.
Yeah, shout out to ESPN.
It's the
man.
One. It's the one. And again, I keep saying it because I could picture it. They run out of the tunnel in New Orleans, and this is the song. And he's leading them out here. There's no question. Any other song is a mistake. This has to be it.
Yeah. I just remember when all of this happened, when he cut his hair and everybody was speculating on what was about to happen. I was like, man, this might be historic. this might be historic.
And then me, a visionary, buzzed my hair alongside him.
And haven't lost
is that
since?
What it yep. is?
That's right.
Zero losses
yep.
since.
Mm-hmm.
It is pretty remarkable. Imagine if they win out, which is certainly possible. I mean, they'll be favored in every game, I think. A little bit of a favorite over Pittsburgh. Probably, I don't know, a 3 or 4 point favorite against Washington if we get there with it, so, you know, without a loss. They are probably favored to win out. I mean, what if they don't lose a game the rest of the season? If they win out in the regular season and then win the Super Bowl, that means they go undefeated post-buzzing of the hair.
It's the flower speech from 21 all over again.
But like on steroids.
But yeah.
It's wild. All right, 215-592-94. Let's grab a phone call, and then we'll let you hear Sirianni on this morning with Joe and John. Bashir in West Philly. What's up, Bashir?
Sir, Joe, Uncle Hugh, how you doing?
What's up, Bashir?
What's going on, man?
So listen, Nick Sirianni is an exceptional coach, okay? When you can come to a city like Philadelphia, embrace the city, you know, get the city's love, and basically a nut, and like I'll say probably like 2-3 seasons, he got Philadelphia's love. That takes a lot because not everybody can come to the city and be accepted, in my opinion.
Well, you're right about that, Bashir. I mean, and it's not only success.
He still ain't been accepted all the way yet, though.
Well, but
he's working on it.
Yeah, I think he won a lot of people over the Super Bowl year, and
man,
then he kind of lost people a little bit,
Bashir,
but now they're coming back.
When he put hands on that fan.
Well, he didn't put hands on
that. I know, I'm embellishing
the
story.
Oh, sorry. I'll let you cook.
That's an important embellishment.
It's actually a fireable offense, what you're saying.
When he put hands on that fan in the stands,
yep.
People were really trying to get him up out of here. So I think for the most part, Coach Sirianni has a love-hate relationship with the city.
But do you think anybody else can coach in the city and be successful?
I think that what he's been through and how he's come out of it so far, it'd be tough. I think that Coach Sirianni was going – that you cannot convince me for 1 second that Coach Sirianni coming out of that bye week wasn't going through something. He probably was under a lot of stress.
Of course he was. He thought he was going to get fired.
And he was able to turn this around. Now he's a better man for it, in my opinion.
Well, I agree with that, Bashir. Go ahead.
Joe, I want to know just why do you think Bill Belichick would have been a better situation? Bill Belichick looked like he put lettuce and tomatoes on a cheesesteak. I don't think it would work.
Well, just because he's a better coach. I mean, I understand your point. There's something about coaching here, winning the locker room over. But just like in general, just Bill's a better coach. So then I just think the better coach would do a better job. Like that's it's just a simple thing.
In that way, if Bill Belichick did come here, I'm going to give it a scenario. If mm-hmm. Bill Belichick would have came here, it would have turned into another Chip Kelly situation.
In terms of the players not liking him?
In terms of that, in terms of he's going to want control.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, in the culture, in the Philadelphia culture, he's not going to be able to adapt to it.
You might be right. And that might be why ultimately it never went anywhere and it would never in the future. Bashir, we appreciate it. I mean, the Eagles have a pattern, right? I mean, it's pretty clear. Since Chip left you, it doesn't seem like they want a coach that that wants power, that wants to have personnel say.
That's Howie's job.
Yeah, the coach coaches, Howie does his thing, and they have it's worked. Now, Bashir's thing, could anyone else coach here and have success? I mean, they've all had success. Jeff Lurie hasn't hired a coach in 30 years, 25 years, that hasn't had a winning record here, right? Like, they give the coach good players, and then the coach does the job. But Andy obviously was great here. Chip Kelly left here with a winning record. As much as we talk about a disaster,
it was different, though.
He was different, and I don't think he was good, but he left. He won games. He won double-digit games 2 of his 3 years. Doug Peterson won the Super Bowl here. And I don't know if Doug's ever going to coach again after the disaster in Jacksonville. And then now we have, you know, like, a lot of guys win here. I mean,
head coach again.
Head coach again. You know, Doug will be around the NFL if he wants. But I just mean, like, the franchise is set up for success. I almost view it almost like a manager in baseball. It's a good organization, and you come here and you just push the buttons, and you should be able to have success.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, and to a certain extent it's like that. But I think that you have to have a special kind of guy that can read all different types of personalities and get them to buy into what you're selling.
And that might be his best trait.
That's what Coach Sirianni has done, man.
Yep.
It was a time where I feel like that wasn't the case. Like last year, somewhere down the line, it went south, and they were able to get it. They were able to get back on track with this, man.
Yeah, and look, they deserve credit for staying with it, and it's worked. They're 10-2. All right, let's hear from the coach we've been talking so much about, the head coach of the 10-2 Eagles. He was on with Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie this morning.
10-2 head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's got more important things to figure out than where Mr. T is. But Nick Sirianni, where has Mr. T been lately?
I'm sorry.
We were just talking about where
Nick's like, what?
Where's Mr. Haven't seen Mr. T in a show in a long time. Yeah. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, buddy.
I saw him in Rocky 3. That was the last
time. I know.
Exactly. So, Nick,
you don't see many true Mohawks like Mr. T anymore.
He was rocking it for a long time. All right, so, Nick, congrats, obviously, on another win and a really big and truly great win. And in this case, bottling up, I'd say not one but two future Hall of Famers, Lamar and Derrick Henry. It's a remarkable achievement. How did your defense do that?
Yeah, obviously that's a really good offense. You know, one of the best offenses in the NFL. And our guys just put their head down and worked and played physical and were on the same page and hustled to the football. And again, like I said, like I've always said, like, When you're playing with good fundamentals and when you hustle to the football and everybody on defense is on the same page, good things are going to happen. And that's what we did. And obviously they made some plays. We missed some tackles a little bit more than we've missed here in the past month or so. But credit to them. But our guys came out and played hard, played physical, and really helped us get that win.
What makes Vic Fangio so outstanding?
Yeah, you know, I think that, again, it's getting everybody on the same page, calling a game. You know, all the experience that he has calling a game is, you know, he's seen everything. But getting everybody on the same page, holding everybody accountable to be on the same page. And, again, when all 11 are working as one on defense, that's a huge, huge deal. You can see it all over the league. When there's a blown play, that's the easiest way to give up an explosive, which is the easiest way to get points. And so I just think, again, just the feel and the call that he has for the game and just getting everybody gelled together is a huge deal. And he's obviously a phenomenal coach, and I'm sure glad he's our coach.
How much do you worry, Nick, about the rookie wall? We got the youngest defense in the NFL. Average age is 25. And I think that's with Darius Slay's 33 factored in there. We got rookies playing, we got rookies starting, we depend upon them, and right about now, if they were last year, their season would be ending, and then that wall hits them in the face. How much do you worry about that, Nick, and how do you prepare for that? How do you guard against it?
Yeah, I look at that as a positive in the sense we are young. We do have fresh legs. We are continuing. We got a couple of rookies that are playing and that we'll always account for, but we have an individual plan for everybody as far as their health and conditioning goes. It's not one size fits all. And so those are all thought through and you rest them Monday, Tuesday. You don't rest them, but you monitor them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday while they're getting better while they're getting better at their skills and being on the same page and everything like that. In attempts to make sure that they're as fresh as they possibly can be on Sunday. And that's not an easy thing because, again, you want players that are fresh, but you want players that are ready as well to go, you know, that have worked hard all week, that have worked through their fundamentals all week. You know, we believe so much in fundamentals, and it'd be crazy for us not to, you know, work on block destruction, work on tackling, work on ball security, going into a game. I mean, I compare it to basketball. If a basketball team played once a week, would they only shoot on game day? Heck no.
Yeah.
So you got to get them ready to go throughout the week, but you also have to balance the fine line of, you know, how do we keep these guys going strong? How do we keep these guys healthy? And it's not an easy thing, but, you know, that's something that we have to work through as coaches and as a staff with the strength staff and the trainers and the doctors to make sure that everybody is ready to go, both physically, And skill-wise, as we get ready for each game.
Nick Sirianni here, of course, getting ready for Carolina on Sunday. You know, Nick, the slow starts on offense, I know we've talked about it a bunch, and we had a call or a guest, somebody in the last week or so, brought forth a theory and said maybe more than most teams, they try to decode the opposing defense more than other teams. And it's not that they're not trying to score, because of course you are, but maybe you put a greater emphasis on trying to set up future plays and decode what the opposing defense is doing. Any possibility that that person's on the right track, that you do it more than most?
You know, I think what our coaches have done, again, when you're good on offense, you're going to get things that you don't quite anticipate. Like there's things that are going to be shown on tape that aren't shown on tape, Rich, you know this, like that are not shown on tape that you're going to get because you have a good offense. And like, where'd that come from? I haven't seen that. Well, they saved it for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think we talk so much about, you know, slow starts, and we have to start scoring more on our opening drives. And, you know, we've had some, we had some drives that have went. The last week was not one of those. But I think what our coaches don't get enough credit for is the way they do adjust and the way they do set up, because we are one of the top scoring offenses in the second, third, and fourth. But we tend to look at things just in a negative aspect of where we are in the first quarter. Now, that's not to say that we don't have to get going faster and better than we have, because it's so important that you get off to a fast start. But I think the coaches and the players have all done a nice job of adjusting to what the defense is doing to us. And that's why we're one of the better scoring teams in the second, third, and fourth quarter. Now, how do we unlock that? If I had the answer, we would do it. We are digging and we are clawing and we are scratching to find the answer, so we can get points on that opening drive. We've had some good drives there on that opening drive. We haven't punched them in for touchdowns. I think that's a big thing too. You know, we go to LA and we get down to the 3 on our opening drive or the 4 on our opening drive, and we didn't get to punch it in, which would have made a big difference. And so it's sustaining drives, it's creating long drives where you score points, and then it's finishing drives for the touchdown. And like I said, we're working through all those different things to get that fresh start or to get that hot start, which has evaded us so far this season.
Nick, we're trying to rally backs for Barkley in the MVP conversation, but Jalen, let's not forget about our quarterback. Jalen Hurts should be in that conversation. Can you tell us why Jalen Hurts should be in the MVP conversation?
Yeah, I mean, he just wins. I mean, look at his just how he wins, and how he's taking care of the football, and how he has been so efficient. Like, look at those quarterback ratings through this 8-game win streak. It's so, like, consistently high over and over and over. And that quarterback rating tells you a lot about how the game goes, right? And then it's not counting all the plays that he makes with his feet when something breaks down, whether it's a route, whether it's a protection, you know, whatever it is of all the things. So, I mean, when the guy who touches the ball every single play on a team that's good, man, that's got to count for something. That counts for something for me. I know that, because he's been efficient. He's been leading this football team. He's been, you know, great in situational football, like in 4-minute and backed up and all those different things that gets teams in trouble. He's mastered those things. And so he's led an offense that is scoring points and winning games, and, you know, and sometimes you get so bogged down with stats, and I get that, especially when you talk about MVP things. You get so bogged down with stats, but, like, the main stat is winning and losing. And Jalen just, I mean, year after year after year, he just wins. And this is the same thing right now. And he's playing really good, clean football that we sure as heck appreciate as coaches. He hasn't thrown the ball in the fourth quarter very much in the past month and a half. Which can, you know, stat wise, if you're looking at it from, if you don't watch the game and you get the stat sheet at the end of the game, you're like, oh, you know, he did this. Yeah, we didn't throw it in the fourth quarter. And so that's a huge deal. And that's sometimes, his stats show, you know, off of the wins, losses is so important, but it doesn't account for, hey, we didn't throw the ball in the fourth quarter because we were up and we were running the clock out.
Mm-hmm. Nick, did you and he together unshackle him a little bit this year with the running. He looks more confident and decisive in the last month or two. And I'm wondering if you and he and Kellen Moore had a conversation to say, when you run, let it rip, man.
Man, I don't know if that's something that you can tell a runner. I mean, he can run now, and it's and he's, you know, he is making plays, and he has some. I think it's you get feel for better and better what's working. I think that's the case. Like, you know, what concepts and what schemes are working. You know, you have a good feel for, and man, he's so tough and so physical and. We just tell him to protect himself, because he's going to run hard every single time he has that ball in his hands. I think maybe what you see is just the different schemes that we're doing that he's been successful at. He doesn't need my help as far as how to run the football, because you know the way that when they get that ball in their hands, like Jalen or Saquon, that their instincts take over. Yes, we tell them hey, here's the read. Here's what we want. Here's your footwork. But, you know, when you get Rich, you know this, when you get the ball in your hands, like, your instincts take over. Like, I'm not letting that guy tackle me. And so, like, yeah. I think that coaching in that aspect, when the ball is in somebody's hands, yes, we'll teach them how to ball security. We'll teach them what hand to carry it in. We'll hold them accountable to that. But, like, shoot, making plays with the ball in your hands is an instinct. It's a skill. I can't take any credit for him whatsoever.
That's why Andy Reid said, "Hey, Brian Westbrook, you take the ball, and John, you go be the blocker."
Right, exactly.
Hey, Nick, minor point from the last 2 weeks, but it's been a little weird and I'd say kind of irritating. Four times in the last 2 weeks, we think a penalty situation is resolved, and twice in this last game after commercial break, it's like, wait a minute, repunt. So, do the refs even bother to check with you or the opposing coach? Are they just assuming what you're going to choose, and then 30 seconds later, yeah, you're like, hold on a second?
Yeah, sometimes it goes that way. The refs do a great job. They do, and it's a hard job that they have. And sometimes it is assumed on the easy ones, and sometimes they give us a moment to figure out what we're going to do. And when you have TV breaks and stuff like that, you know, you have a little bit more time than normal to make those decisions. And that's what you're trying, like, shoot, we're always on the clock, right? I mean, yeah. Anybody who's a football coach thinks about, like, I have 40 seconds to do everything, right? Because that's how much time you have to get a play in, this and that. I got 40 seconds to brush my teeth. I got 40 seconds to do that. Like, that's what your mindset's in. And so when you get that a little extra time, we'll take it. And sorry to the fans that it goes to break and there's a different thing. But, you know, whether it's Coach Harbaugh, whether it's myself, if we get some extra time that they allow us to have to process it and think through it, we'll take it.
Sure. I'm surprised the league allows it, but I get it. If they allow it, they allow it. How's it looking for Devontae and Dallas for Sunday versus Carolina?
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I don't like to put, timelines on anything, you know, so we'll see as the week progresses. They came in here to work out yesterday after the game. And we haven't even been on the field yet. So, you know, we got to get on the field. We got to kind of get through another couple days before I'm ready to say anything like that. So, they're both really good players and, you know, we need them. So, you know, we'll see where we are later in this week.
Hey, Nick, big game Thursday night. Obviously, Detroit here trying to track down in the Packers. Are you going to watch that in real time or at least try to track it in real time? I know you're busy prepping and you got family and all that, but, I mean, that's a big game for you. Do you follow that in real time Thursday night?
You know, one thing I really like doing on Thursday night, get out here just a little bit earlier on Thursday, and one thing I really like doing is taking some work home with me and sit on the couch and watch football. I don't care who it is. That's what we do. We watch football. Aren't you bored? You know, aren't you bored of football when you get home? Heck no. I can't wait to watch games when we get home. And so Thursday you get out a little bit earlier than normal. Just because you're wrapping up the week a little bit more so. So, and when I say early, I mean, you know, you still get out here late, but you at least get to watch some of the game at home. And so I'll watch it because that's my routine, you know, to sit on the couch, do some work and watch some football. And so again, though, my job is to solely focus on the things that we can control. Does that mean I don't root for a team or this or that? Or, you know, that? No, because I'm human and we all do that. I can't control that. Watch and see what's happening, and all we can control is, and all our minds should be focused on is the Carolina Panthers.
Nick, congrats on the tremendous winning streak, and obviously good luck Sunday versus Carolina. Thanks for being on the program today.
All right, there was Nick Sirianni on with the morning show. Hugh, what were your takeaways from Nick this morning as he spoke to Joe and John?
Sounds calm and clear. That was one of the big. That's been one of the biggest things that has jumped out to me about Coach these last couple of weeks. He just sounds more focused to me. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, it just sounds like scattershot for the most part when he's talking, you know, and he goes off on tangents. I know.
I haven't had a glass of milk in probably 20 years.
Yeah, he'll go off on a few tangents, but it just seems like something has clicked in him and he's really laser focused on this season. I mean, it's good to hear. And, you know, he's bantering back with the guys. He's not being as guarded when he answers questions. Mm-hmm. You know, because there was an air of arrogance when Coach would talk to John, and it would feel like, you know, hey, John, you know, the game has changed a little bit, and it ain't like it was when you played, and, you know, stuff. It felt like he was doing that a little bit. It doesn't feel like that anymore.
The other thing that caught my attention was they were having the discussion about MVP, right? And we're going to have – so the backs with Barkley has begun. John Ritchie, backs for Barkley. He laid the case out this morning on why Saquon should be the MVP from a backs perspective. At 1:30 today, we're going to be joined by a pretty darn good back. LeSean McCoy is going to be on the show to lay out his case for Saquon winning the MVP, but also kind of spun to the Jalen thing. And it kind of goes back to that we were discussing earlier, this – The job Sirianni has here to not just win football games, but also manage egos and get everyone to buy in. And I do think one of the positive things this year with Nick is getting Jalen to buy in to a different role. I mean, you could call it game manager, you could call it, you know, he's making plays when he's asked, whatever. He only completed 11 passes, only attempted 19 times. I don't think he's thrown the ball 30 times in a game since September, and they've won every game since. So it's been a different role, and it's obviously worked for Sirianni. 215-592-9494. Terrence at Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Hugh, Joe, Kyle.
Terrence, what's up, buddy?
What's down for Pony? But in my eye, dog, and I get it. Hey, man, Sirianni, I feel like he's going to be, like, Joe, you said it. I want to see him win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But who would you rather have right now than Nick Sirianni as your coach of the Philadelphia Eagles? He said the best is now, a couple minutes ago. He's locked in. I don't know what he did after he had that Sinead O'Connor, Britney Spears moment.
Yeah, the breakdown.
When he had the breakdown, I feel like he analyzed himself, man. I feel like he analyzed his coaching. He hasn't been getting in the way of his team, and he's locked in. And I feel like the path that he's on, If we go down to New Orleans and we win the Super Bowl, he'll go down one of the greatest seasons, one of the greatest teams. And we all know the X factor is Jalen Hurts. But we can't knock it, man. Sirianni's record, this guy's beating Hall of Fame quarterback after Hall of Fame quarterback, Lamar Jackson. He's beating the Josh Allen, the Patrick Mahomes, anybody you name. And this season, he's getting quality wins. That's why I feel like this season is much different than last season. Last season, we're beating cupcake teams, and we everybody go back to the roster. We didn't know what the roster was going to be this year. We didn't know what the defense was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know what the offense was going to be. We don't even have a good slot receiver right now, and we're still winning games without a number three slot receiver. I feel like he's marking off all the exits this year, and I'm going to go back to development of the players. They're developing these young guys, man, and these guys are coming out to be juggernauts. We didn't know what the defense was going to be. This defense is flying on all cylinders. And I feel like we got to go, based off his record, I feel like Sirianni is a great coach, man.
Well, the record is great. I mean, Terrence, 44-19 is nothing to sneeze at. That's obvious. And Terrence, we appreciate the phone call. And young players to develop. That's all part of coaching. By the way, in terms of injuries, Goddard's going to be out a few weeks, so we'll see how serious that is. But a sprain of his knee. All right, 215-592-9494. Ross Tucker will join us at 12:30. Your calls on Nick Sirianni coming up on the other side. Are you willing to say right now and ready to say he's a great coach? I've moved to good. I moved from, I don't know where I was 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, average, below. I wasn't in a good place.
Numbers are legendary, yeah, you nitwit.
See, that's where we have to stop. All right, I'm willing to say good. Hugh's saying very good. Howard's saying legendary. Legendary for Nick Sirianni. Well, are you willing to say he's great? 215-592-9494. And we come back, we'll take a look at something else that came out yesterday regarding this Eagles roster that may depending on how you look at it. Maybe another feather in Nick Sirianni's cap. That's coming up next. Your calls. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. The song is so perfect. Of all the moments this year that have been captured with the Eagles, this, the Elliott's video of this.
Yeah, shout out to ESPN.
It's the
man.
One. It's the one. And again, I keep saying it because I could picture it. They run out of the tunnel in New Orleans, and this is the song. And he's leading them out here. There's no question. Any other song is a mistake. This has to be it.
Yeah. I just remember when all of this happened, when he cut his hair and everybody was speculating on what was about to happen. I was like, man, this might be historic. this might be historic.
And then me, a visionary, buzzed my hair alongside him.
Haven't lost
is that
since?
What it yep. is?
That's right.
Zero losses yep. since.
Mm-hmm.
It is pretty remarkable. Imagine if they win out, which is certainly possible. I mean, they'll be favored in every game, I think. A little bit of a favorite over Pittsburgh, probably, I don't know, a 3 or 4 point favorite against Washington if we get there with that, still, you know, without a loss. They are probably favored to win out. I mean, what if they don't lose a game the rest of the season? If they win out in the regular season and then win the Super Bowl, that means they go undefeated post buzzing of the hair.
It's the flower speech from 21 all over again.
But like on
but
steroids. Even,
but yeah.
It's wild. All right, 215-592-94. Let's grab a phone call, and then we'll let you hear Sirianni on this morning with Joe and John. Bashir in West Philly. What's up, Bashir?
Sir, Joe, Uncle Hugh, how you doing?
What's up, Bashir?
What's going on, man?
So listen, Nick Sirianni is an exceptional coach, okay? When you can come to a city like Philadelphia, embrace the city, you know, get the city's love, and basically a nut, and like I'll say probably like 2-3 seasons, he got Philadelphia's love. That takes a lot because not everybody can come to the city and be accepted, in my opinion.
Well, you're right about that, Bashir. I mean, and it's not only success.
He still ain't been accepted all the way yet, though.
Well,
but he's working on it.
Yeah, I think he won a lot of people over the Super Bowl year, and
man,
then he kind of lost people a little bit,
Bashir,
but now they're coming back.
When he put hands on that fan.
Well, he didn't put hands on
that fan. I know. I'm embellishing the story.
Sorry. I'll let you cook.
That's an important embellishment.
It's a fireball offense, what you're saying.
When he put hands on that fan in the stands,
yep.
People were really trying to get him up out of here. So I think for the most part, Coach Sirianni has a love-hate relationship with the city.
But do you think anybody else can coach in the city and be successful?
I think that what he's been through and how he's come out of it so far, it'd be tough. I think that Coach Sirianni was going – that you cannot convince me for 1 second that Coach Sirianni coming out of that bye week wasn't going through something. He probably was under a lot of stress.
Of course he was. He thought he was going to get fired.
And he was able to turn this around. Now yep. He's a better man for it, in my opinion.
Well, I agree with that, Bashir. Go ahead.
Joe, I want to know just why do you think Bill Belichick would have been a better situation? Bill Belichick looked like he put lettuce and tomatoes on a cheesesteak. I don't think it would work.
Well, just because he's a better coach. I mean, I understand your point. There's something about coaching here, winning the locker room over. But just like in general, just Bill's a better coach. So then I just think the better coach would do a better job. Like that's it's just a simple thing.
In that way, if Bill Belichick did come here, I'm going to give a scenario. If Bill Belichick would have came here, it would have turned into another Chip Kelly situation.
In terms of the players not liking him?
In terms of that, in terms of he's going to want control.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, in the Philadelphia culture, he's not going to be able to adapt to it.
You might be right. And that might be why ultimately it never went anywhere and it would never in the future. Bashir, we appreciate it. I mean, the Eagles have a pattern, right? I mean, it's pretty clear. Since Chip left you, it doesn't seem like they want a coach that wants power, that wants to have personnel say.
That's Howie's job.
Yeah, the coach coaches, Howie does his thing, and they have it's worked. Now, Bashir's thing, could anyone else coach here and have success? I mean, they've all had success. Jeff Lurie hasn't hired a coach in 30 years, 25 years, that hasn't had a winning record here, right? Like, they give the coach good players, and then the coach does the job. But Andy obviously was great here. Chip Kelly left here with a winning record. As much as we talk about a disaster,
Chip was different, though.
He was different, and I don't think he was good, but he left. He won games. He won double-digit games 2 of his 3 years. Doug Peterson won the Super Bowl here. And I don't know if Doug's ever going to coach again after the disaster in Jacksonville. And then now we have, you know, like, a lot of guys win here. I mean, head coach again. You know, Doug will be around the NFL if he wants. But I just mean, like, the franchise is set up for success. I almost view it almost like a manager in baseball. It's a good organization, and you come here and you just push the buttons, and you should be able to have success.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, and to a certain extent it's like that. But I think that you have to have a special kind of guy that can read all different types of personalities and get them to buy into what you're selling.
And that might be his best trait.
That's what Coach Sirianni's done, man.
Yep.
It was a time where I feel like that wasn't the case. Like last year, somewhere down the line, it went south. And they were able to get it. They were able to get back on track with this, man.
Yeah, and look, they deserve credit for staying with it, and it's worked. They're 10-2. All right, let's hear from the coach we've been talking so much about, the head coach of the 10-2 Eagles. He was on with Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie this morning.
10-2 head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's got more important things to figure out than where Mr. T is. But Nick Sirianni, where has Mr. T been lately?
I'm sorry.
We were just talking about where
Nick's like, what?
Where's Mr. Haven't seen Mr. T in a show in a long time. Yeah. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, buddy.
I saw him in Rocky 3. That was the last
time. I know.
Exactly. So, Nick.
You don't see many true Mohawks like Mr. T anymore, either.
He was rocking it for a long time. All right, so,
with
Nick, congrats, obviously, on another win and a really big and truly great win. And in this case, bottling up, I'd say not one, but two future Hall of Famers, Lamar and Derrick Henry. It's a remarkable achievement. How did your defense do that?
Yeah, obviously, that's a really good offense, you know, one of the best offenses in the NFL. And our guys just put their head down and worked and played physical and were on the same page and hustled to the football. And again, like I said, like I've always said, like, When you're playing with good fundamentals and when you hustle to the football and everybody on defense is on the same page, good things are going to happen. And that's what we did. And obviously they made some plays. We missed some tackles a little bit more than we've normally missed here in the past month or so. But credit to them. But our guys came out and played hard, played physical, and really helped us get that win.
What makes Vic Fangio so outstanding?
Yeah, you know, I think that, again, it's getting everybody on the same page, calling a game. All the experience that he has calling a game is, you know, he's seen everything. But getting everybody on the same page, holding everybody accountable to be on the same page. And again, when all 11 are working as one on defense, that's a huge, huge deal. You see it all over the league. When there's a blown play, that's the easiest way to give up an explosive, which is the easiest way to get points. And so I just think, again, just the feel and the call that he has for the game and just getting everybody gelled together is a huge deal. And he's obviously a phenomenal coach, and I'm sure glad he's our coach.
How much do you worry, Nick, about the rookie wall with – we got the youngest defense in the NFL, average age is 25, and I think that's with Darius Slay's 33 factored in there. We got rookies playing, we got rookies starting, we depend upon them, and right about now, if they were last year, their season would be ending, and then that wall hits them in the face. How much do you worry about that, Nick, and how do you prepare for that? How do you guard against it?
Yeah, I look at that as a positive in the sense we are young. We do have fresh legs. We are continuing. We got a couple of rookies that are playing and that we'll always account for, but everybody's individual. We have an individual plan for everybody as far as their health and conditioning goes. It's not one size fits all, and so those are all thought through. And you rest them Monday, Tuesday. You don't rest them, but you monitor them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday while they're getting better. While they're getting better at their skills and being on the same page and everything like that. In attempts to make sure that they're as fresh as they possibly can be on Sunday. And that's not an easy thing because, again, you want players that are fresh, but you want players that are ready as well to go, you know, that have worked hard all week, that have worked through their fundamentals all week. You know, we believe so much in fundamentals, and it'd be crazy for us not to, work on block destruction, work on tackling, work on ball security, going into a game. I mean, I compare it to basketball. If a basketball team played once a week, would they only shoot on game day? Heck no.
Yeah.
So you got to get them ready to go throughout the week, but you also have to balance the fine line of, how do we keep these guys going strong? How do we keep these guys healthy? And it's not an easy thing, but, that's something that we have to work through as coaches and as a staff with the strength staff and the trainers and the doctors to make sure that everybody is ready to go, both physically And skill-wise, as we get ready for each game.
Nick Sirianni here, of course, getting ready for Carolina on Sunday. You know, Nick, the slow starts on offense, I know we've talked about it a bunch, and we had a call or a guest, somebody in the last week or so, brought forth a theory and said maybe more than most teams, they try to decode the opposing defense more than other teams. And it's not that they're not trying to score, because of course you are, but maybe you put a greater emphasis on trying to set up future plays and decode what the opposing defense is doing. Any possibility that person's on the right track, that you do it more than most?
You know, I think what our coaches have done, again, when you're good on offense, you're going to get things that you don't quite anticipate. Like, there's things that are going to be shown on tape that aren't shown on tape, Rich, you know this, like that are not shown on tape that you're going to get because you have a good offense. And like, where did that come from? I haven't seen that. Well, they saved it for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think we talk so much about, you know, slow starts, and we have to start scoring more on our opening drives. And, you know, we've had some, we had some drives that have went. The last week was not one of those. But I think what our coaches don't get enough credit for is the way they do adjust and the way they do set up, because we are one of the top scoring offenses in the second, third, and fourth. But we tend to look at things just in a negative aspect of where we are in the first quarter. Now, that's not to say that we don't have to get going faster and better than we have, because it's so important that you get off to a fast start. But I think the coaches and the players have all done a nice job of adjusting to what the defense is doing to us. And that's why we're one of the better scoring teams in the second, third, and fourth quarter. Now, how do we unlock that? If I had the answer, we would do it. We are digging and we are clawing and we are scratching to find the answer, so we can get points on that opening drive. And we've had some good drives there on that opening drive. We haven't punched them in for touchdowns. I think that's a big thing too. You know, we go to LA and we get down to the 3 on our opening drive or the 4 on our opening drive, and we didn't get to punch it in, which would have made a big difference. And so it's sustaining drives, it's creating long drives where you score points, and then it's finishing drives for the touchdown. And like I said, we're working through all those different things to get that fresh start or to get that hot start, which has evaded us so far this season.
Nick, we're trying to rally backs for Barkley in the MVP conversation, but Jalen, let's not forget about our quarterback. Jalen Hurts should be in that conversation. Can you tell us why Jalen Hurts should be in the MVP conversation?
Yeah, I mean, he just wins. I mean, look at his just how he wins, and how he's taking care of the football, and how he has been so efficient. Like, look at those quarterback ratings through this 8-game win streak. It's so, like, consistently high over and over and over. And that quarterback rating tells you a lot about how the game goes, right? And then it's not counting all the plays that he makes with his feet when something breaks down, whether it's a route, whether it's a protection, you know, whatever it is of all the things. So, I mean, when the guy who touches the ball every single play on a team that's good, man, that's got to count for something. That counts for something for me. I know that, because he's been efficient. He's been leading this football team. He's been, you know, great in situational football, like in 4 minute and backed up and all those different things that gets teams in trouble. He's mastered those things. And so he's led an offense that is scoring points and winning games, and, and sometimes you get so bogged down with stats, and I get that, especially when you talk about MVP things. You get so bogged down with stats, but, like, the main stat is winning and losing. And Jalen just, I mean, year after year after year, he just wins. And this is the same thing right now. And he's playing really good, clean football that we sure as heck appreciate as coaches. He hasn't thrown the ball in the fourth quarter very much in the past month and a half, which can stat-wise, if you're looking at it from if you don't watch the game and you get the stat sheet at the end of the game, you're like, oh, he did this. Yeah, we didn't throw it in the fourth quarter, and so that's a huge deal. And that's sometimes his stats show off of the wins losses is so important, but it doesn't account for, hey, we didn't throw the ball in the fourth quarter because we were up and we were running the clock out.
Mm-hmm. Nick, did you and he together unshackle him a little bit this year with the running. He looks more confident and decisive in the last month or two. And I'm wondering if you and he and Kellen Moore had a conversation to say, when you run, let it rip, man.
Man, I don't know if that's something that you can tell a runner. I mean, he can run now, and he is making plays, and he has some. I think it's you get feel for better and better what's working. I think that's the case. Like, what concepts and what schemes are working. You know, you have a good feel for, and man, he is so tough and so physical, and we just tell him to protect himself. Because he's going to run hard every single time he has that ball in his hands. I think maybe what you see is just the different schemes that we're doing that he's been successful at. He doesn't need my help as far as how to run the football, because you know the way that when they get that ball in their hands, like Jalen or Saquon, that their instincts take over. Yes, we tell them hey, here's the read, here's what we want, here's your footwork, but. You know, when you get a like Rich, you know this. When you get the ball in your hands, like your instincts take over. Like I'm not letting that guy tackle me. And so, I think that coaching in that aspect, when the ball is in somebody's hands, yes, we'll teach them how to ball security. We'll teach them what hand to carry it in. We'll hold them accountable to that. But making plays with the ball in your hands is an instinct. It's a skill. I can't take any credit for it whatsoever.
That's why Andy Reid said, hey, Brian Westbrook, you take the ball, and John, you go be the blocker.
Right, exactly.
Hey, Nick, minor point from the last 2 weeks, but it's been a little weird and I'd say kind of irritating. Four times in the last 2 weeks, we think a penalty situation is resolved, and twice in this last game after commercial break, it's like, wait a minute, repunt. So do the refs even bother to check with you or the opposing coach? Are they just assuming what you're going to choose, and then 30 seconds later, you're like, hold on a second?
Yeah, sometimes it goes that way. The refs do a great job. They do, and it's a hard job that they have. And sometimes it is assumed on the easy ones, and sometimes they give us a moment to figure out what we're going to do. And when you have TV breaks and stuff like that, you have a little bit more time than normal to make those decisions. And that's what you're trying, we're always on the clock, right? I mean, Anybody who's a football coach thinks about, I have 40 seconds to do everything, right? Because that's how much time you have to get a play in, this and that. I got 40 seconds to brush my teeth. I got 40 seconds to do that. That's what your mindset's in. And so when you get that a little extra time, we'll take it. And sorry to the fans that it goes to break and there's a different thing. But, whether it's Coach Harbaugh, it's myself, if we get some extra time that they allow us to have to process it and think through it, we'll take it.
Sure. I'm surprised the league allows it, but I get it. If they allow it, they allow it. How's it looking for Devontae and Dallas for Sunday versus Carolina?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't like to put timelines on anything. So we'll see as the week progresses. They came in here to work out yesterday after the game, and we haven't even been on the field yet. So we got to get on the field. We got to kind of get through another couple days before I'm ready to say anything like that. So they're both really good players, and. We need them. So, we'll see where we are later in this week.
Hey, Nick, big game Thursday night. Obviously, Detroit here trying to track down to the Packers. Are you going to watch that in real time, or at least try to track it in real time? I know you're busy prepping and you got family and all that, but, I mean, that's a big game for you. Do you follow that in real time Thursday night?
One thing I really like doing on Thursday night, get out here just a little bit earlier on Thursday, and one thing I really like doing is taking some work home with me and sit on the couch and watch football. I don't care who it is. That's what we do. We watch football. Aren't you bored? Aren't you bored of football when you get home? Heck no. I can't wait to watch games when we get home. And so Thursday you get out a little bit earlier than normal. Just because you're wrapping up the week a little bit more so. So when I say early, I mean, you still get out of here late, but you at least get to watch some of the game at home. And so I'll watch it because that's my routine, to sit on the couch, do some work, and watch some football. And so, again, though, my job is to solely focus on the things that we can control. Does that mean I don't root for a team or this or that? Or, no, because I'm human and we all do that. But I can't control that. Watch and see what's happening, and all we can control is, and all our minds should be focused on is the Carolina Panthers.
Nick, congrats on the tremendous winning streak, and obviously good luck Sunday versus Carolina. Thanks for being on the program today.
All right, there was Nick Sirianni on with the morning show. Hugh, what were your takeaways from Nick this morning as he spoke to Joe and John?
Sounds calm and clear. That was one of the big. That's been one of the biggest things that has jumped out to me about Coach these last couple of weeks. He just sounds more focused to me. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, it just sounds like scattershot for the most part when he's talking, you know, and he goes off on tangents. I know.
I haven't had a glass of milk in probably 20 years.
Yeah, he'll go off on a few tangents, but it just seems like something has clicked in him and he's really laser focused on this season. I mean, it's good to hear. You know, he's bantering back with the guys. He's not being as guarded when he answers questions. Mm-hmm. You know, because there was an air of arrogance when Coach would talk to John. And it would feel like, you know, hey, John, you know, the game has changed a little bit. And it ain't like it was when you played and, you know, stuff. It felt like he was doing that a little bit. It doesn't feel like that anymore.
The other thing that caught my attention was they were having the discussion about MVP, right? And we're going to have – so the backs with Barkley has begun. John Ritchie, backs for Barkley. He laid the case out this morning on why Saquon should be the MVP from a backs perspective. At 1:30 today, we're going to be joined by a pretty darn good back. LeSean McCoy is going to be on the show to lay out his case for Saquon winning the MVP, but also kind of spun to the Jalen thing. And it kind of goes back to that we were discussing earlier, this – The job Sirianni has here to not just win football games, but also manage egos and get everyone to buy in. And I do think one of the positive things this year with Nick is getting Jalen to buy in to a different role. I mean, you could call it game manager, you could call it, you know, he's making plays when he's asked, whatever. He only completed 11 passes, only attempted 19 times. They haven't, I don't think he's thrown the ball 30 times in a game since September, and they've won every game since. So it's been a different role, and it's obviously worked for Sirianni. 215-592-9494. Terrence at Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Hugh, Joe, Kyle.
Terrence, what's up, buddy?
What's that for Pony? Butter in my eye, dog, and I get it. Hey, man, Sirianni, I feel like he's going to be, like, Joe, you said it. I want to see him win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But who would you rather have right now than Nick Sirianni as your coach of the Philadelphia Eagles? He said it the best is now, a couple minutes ago. He's locked in. I don't know what he did after he had that Sinead O'Connor, Britney Spears moment.
Yeah, the breakdown.
When he had the breakdown, I feel like he analyzed himself, man. I feel like he analyzed his coaching. He hasn't been getting in the way of his team. And he's locked in. And I feel like the path that he's on, if we go down to New Orleans and we win the Super Bowl, he'll go down. This will go down one of the greatest seasons, one of the greatest teams. And we all know the X factor is Jalen Hurts. But we can't knock him, man. Sirianni's record, this guy's beating Hall of Fame quarterback after Hall of Fame quarterback, Lamar Jackson. He's beating the Josh Allen, the Patrick Mahomes. Anybody you name, this. And this season, he's getting quality wins. That's why I feel like this season is much different than last season. Last season, we're beating cupcake teams, and we everybody go back to the roster. We didn't know what the roster was going to be this year. We didn't know what the defense was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know what the offense was going to be. We don't even have a good slot receiver right now, and we're still winning games without a number three slot receiver. I feel like he's marking off all the exits this year. And I'm going to go back to the development of the players. They're developing these young guys, man, and these guys are coming in to be juggernauts. We didn't know what the defense was going to be. This team is flying on all cylinders. And I feel like we got to go, based off his record, I feel like Sirianni is a great coach, man.
Well, the record is great. I mean, Terrence, 44-19 is nothing to sneeze at. That's obvious. And Terrence, we appreciate the phone call. And young players to develop. That's all part of coaching. By the way, in terms of injuries, Goddard's going to be out a few weeks. So we'll see how serious that is. But a sprain of his knee. All right, 215-592-9494. For Ross Tucker will join us at 12:30. Your calls on Nick Sirianni coming up on the other side. Are you willing to say right now and ready to say he's a great coach? I've moved to good. I moved from, I don't know where I was 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, average, below. I wasn't in a good place.
His numbers are legendary, yeah, you nitwit.
See, that's where we have to stop. All right, I'm willing to say good. Hugh's saying very good. Howard's saying legendary.
Yesterday.
Legendary for Nick Sirianni. Well, are you willing to say he's great? 215-592-9494. And we come back. We'll take a look at something else that came out yesterday regarding this Eagles roster that may depending on how you look at it. Maybe another feather in Nick Sirianni's cap. That's coming up next. Your calls. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.